Okay, and so to ladies' football. And, well, when I was a kid, this seems to be an awful long time ago, the girls didn't play football. They were the ones that stood on the sidelines and watched. And it was very much a boys' or a man's game. Times have changed, fortunately, to where women have their own football teams, and it's not just seen as netball as a ladies' sport. So I'm very pleased to welcome and talk to the guys from Merstham Ladies Football Club. Sarah Collett, the manager, or is it Collett, I do believe, and Mark Adams, the coach, as in male coach from Bend It Like Beckham, I do believe was the thing. Morning to you two.
Morning.
Good morning.
Did I get that right, by the way? Sarah, the manager, Mark, the coach.
Yeah, I don't remember being in Bend It Like Beckham. That was
Well, he was a male coach, wasn't he? But, I mean, you know.
But, yeah, that was a groundbreaking film, wasn't it?
It was indeed. That's why I mentioned it. I mean, it was, what, night? It was 20 years ago, that film. So, I mean, things have come a long way. Certainly in my lifetime, seen many, many differences and changes, which all seem to be for the better. And we now have an award-winning Merstham Ladies Football Club.
Yeah. Yes, come on.
Sarah, I'm going to start
Yes, we do.
I'm going to start with you, Sarah, if I may. Manager of this team. Now, you play 7-a-side games, if I'm right. We'll come to the reasons for that in a moment. But how long have you been there now?
We're entering into our 5th year.
What, the team or you?
Well, both, actually. We came about 5 years ago, and I've been there from the off, not necessarily as manager. I just wanted to join in because, like you said quite rightly at the beginning, there wasn't girls' football. Even when I was younger, I struggled to get a game. So it's quite refreshing that now there's so much more availability. But, yeah, I joined from the off and have loved every minute of it for the last 5 years.
How old were you when you first got into football?
I was probably about 9.
Okay, yeah. I mean, times are different. As I said, it's a lot more inclusive. One of the things that I noticed about the sports awards that we're going to talk about a bit later on is that they are, in fact, gender neutral. There are no men's teams. There are no sportsman of the year, sportswoman of the year. There's none of that. It is all all down to people. Irregardless of what your gender is, which I think is a huge, huge step forward. And let's say full credit to you guys for coming up as Team of the Year. It's been a hard 5 years, I would guess.
Yeah, it has. It's nice to get the recognition because our ethos throughout our team is exactly that, is that we are a team. It doesn't matter how old you are, how good you are, anything like that. It's just about the togetherness of everybody. And if you read any of our chats, it's always got team in it, always, because it's kind of what we all centre around.
Yeah. Now, the one thing that made me smile was when I spoke to you originally about having this little conversation, I asked you what sort of games you played and how many members there were of the team. And you said, oh, there's about 40. And it's all inclusive. Now, once upon a time, this wasn't the way forward, but it would seem that things have gone a little bit round the clock a little bit, so that 40 makes up a team, and you've got good cover to make the whole thing work and to engender a good spirit. Does it bring in any confrontations between players or jealousies at all, or is everybody happy just to play their part?
Yeah, because it actually works the other way. It gives people the opportunity to play as and when they can. It alleviates any pressure because, you know, a lot of us are mums. So your responsibility may be to children's commitments first and foremost, or other commitments if they're not mums. You know, I'm not stereotyping there. But because of that, it makes it easier that if there's a game coming up, you put forward who wants to play. Not everybody wants to play games. They just want to do training and make it a bit more social. And then you've got those that, you know, really absolutely love playing. And you just make it fair and make it sort of so everyone has an opportunity to play if they want to. But if they don't, they don't have to do that either. And I think that's what makes it quite nice.
Yeah. Now, one of the things here I mentioned in the introduction about the groundbreaking film "Bend It Like Beckham," there was a female football team with a male coach. History repeats itself when it comes to Merstham Ladies Football Club because, Sarah, do you want to introduce your coach to us?
Oh, absolutely. He's fabulous. We were very lucky to have Mark. We've had sort of coaches in the past, and when Mark and the team got introduced, it just has bonded immediately. And honestly, he's fabulous. What he's brought to our team is just absolutely superb. So, yes, we have Mark, our brilliant coach.
Mark.
What a wonderful
He'll
intro.
Hate me for doing that as well.
I'm going to say, what's your secret, Mark?
Oh, okay, that's a... I don't know if there is a secret. I think the context is really important for me. I think I grew up in a time, I don't know how old you are, Tony, but I certainly grew up in a time where it was boys football, boys
yes,
played
that
football.
Was it. Yes, that's what
boys
I alluded
played football,
to, yeah.
Girls played netball, yeah. and never the twain met. And I think as a youngster growing up, it felt very exclusive, and my dad was very much an East End dad, so it was like, you know, boys, let's play football, oi, 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 you know, very much like that. So that's the context for me, is that's what I grew up. But actually, a few years ago, and, this is true of Surrey, there actually wasn't even, they had to close the Women's League in Surrey in 2017 because there wasn't enough participation in the sport. And those teams that did have teams, so there were a couple of teams, like I think Dorking Wanderers maybe, had to go and play football in other counties. They had to go to Sussex League or the Hampshire League just to play regular football. Mm. That was the context really around Surrey. And then from 2017, there was a really great team at Surrey FA, including the likes of John Burr and people like that, who went on a bit of a rampage to try and, you know, encourage more women into football. And yeah, and I've been part of that journey in sort of previous coaching journeys as well. So that's the context. And I just love that. I just love coaching, if I'm honest with you. I love coaching. I love seeing people develop, and I love seeing players of all abilities sort of learn and grow. And one of the biggest joys I get with coaching actually is just seeing the team unity. Yeah. And actually how football, and in fact sport, is a very common language. You know, people can communicate with each other through, you know, speaking and playing and enjoying themselves, but it cultivates a really lovely spirit. Yeah. And
do you
I think
actually
that's
need,
the thing I like.
Do you actually need a different approach to coaching a ladies team to a male team?
That's an amazing question that I get asked quite a lot. I guess Sarah's a great because Sarah's actually a very, very good coach herself and coaches with Merstham Wildcats and has done an absolutely amazing job with that initiative. I've coached both boys, men and women, and I would say that the experiences have been different, but I don't think that experience has been anything to necessarily do with gender. I think it's the way that football has been cultivated as a male sport for so many years, hundreds of years, and as such there's a different kind of expectation and a different bravado that sits around it with male football. I think with girls and women's football it's slightly different. I think that it's from a coaching perspective, the principles never change. You know, we talk about the FA England coaching principles, which is what I use to coach with. They don't change. And I say it to Sarah all the time, and I say it to the team all the time, the principles never change. And the good thing about that is, whether you're man or woman, it doesn't make a difference how you coach. But yes, the environment is different. It is different. And it's hard to articulate exactly why it's different. I think I enjoy coaching women's football maybe slightly more than men's football, if I'm very honest with you.
I'm not going there. I'm really not
going
there. Well,
I'll give you the reasons why. I don't know. I think it's just that my role as a coach is to help learn, develop and try and instill some change. Okay, that's what I think. Mm-hmm. And I think with women's football and girls' football, it's a growing community of players, and it's a really exciting place to be. If you look at the England team and how they're performing on a global stage, if you look at the participation numbers in girls' football in and around Surrey, and again, Sarah's been a massive part of that, as has another lady called Emery, and there's quite a few names to mention, but that's really encouraging. And I think with girls and women's football going the way it's going, we're one step closer to that parity that I think we all really want.
And, are the audience figures going up, or the spectator figures going up?
Yeah, they are.
Yeah, massively.
Yeah.
which is which is rather encouraging, and hopefully within any number of years that it'll balance itself out, because at the moment it doesn't matter what anybody tries to do with gender neutral or women's football, men's football, the money is all in the men's game, isn't it?
Absolutely. I think the Premier League and men's football is tapping out, you know, in terms of how much. I mean, there's only so many £200 million players you can have, right? But certainly there's a growing opportunity in women's football. And I mean from a rather cynically marketing perspective. I mean, that is my day job, marketing. Mm-hmm. So I get it from that perspective. But I do actually think there's just a massive opportunity to see some great change. I would love to, I don't know about you, Sarah, how you feel about this, but I'd love the day when actually you've got men and women playing football together. And you're already seeing it.
Do you think that's an option? Do you really think that's an option?
Why not?
Well, because I'm just thinking there's this big discussion going on at the moment about transgender men taking part in women's sport because of the strength of men against women. And the same thing would apply here, surely, that if you put women footballers into a men's team, the men are much bigger and stronger, aren't they?
I disagree. 100% disagree with that.
Because
if you look at the players coming through in the England setup, look at Phil Foden. Would you say he's a big, strong player, or would you say he's a very small, technically gifted player? And when he goes up against a huge Virgil van Dijk, who himself actually is quite technical, probably doesn't get enough credit for that. But the point is, there's different types of players, and in our team, you have players that are very tall and very strong, and you have players that are very small and very technical. And I don't really see that as a limitation. I think it's more to do with attitude. And again, I think you sort of mentioned it there, Tony. There's this kind of assumption that, you know, I think all men are big and strong and all women are small and timid.
Generally, what I meant was generally the physicality of men is seen as much stronger than the physicality of women. Women have got, you know, certainly skills that men haven't got. There's no two ways about that at all. But in terms of physicality, there is some distance to go, I would suggest.
Yeah, I don't know. I think biologically there's some differences, clearly, that maybe play a part in what we're doing here. But generally speaking, I think, as you mentioned, I mean, I don't want to get into a debate about sort of transgender and all that, because I don't really know enough about it, really. All I would say is that trying to create a platform where everyone can play sport and connect on the same level, I think it should be everyone's ambition.
Okay, Sarah, I mean, you've obviously played women's football, you've coached it, you now manage this team. Can you see a time when the men and women actually play with each other and against each other?
Well, yeah, I mean, absolutely, never say never. I mean, a funny story, I actually did my qualification on a course with 15 men and just me.
Yeah,
and the actual session planning of it was absolutely fine. Everyone's on the same page, but when you actually delivered it, it was kind of a bit, you know, a bit ego, a bit, you know, there's a woman on the pitch. It was a bit. I mean, I just laugh it off because I'm kind of used to it. But I mean, I'd never really thought about whether male and female on the same pitch. But absolutely, I mean, if you look at some of the, you know, the England and actually the WSL players that we've got at the moment. They are incredible. I mean, you know, they're strong. And, you know, look at that cracking goal that Millie Bright scored the other day. Do you know what I mean? It's absolutely brilliant. So,
I think that was because she turned up at our training session, Sarah. I think it's because she...
That was us, wasn't it? Yeah.
By the way, Tony, that actually happened. She came to our training session
because
she was at Mercy and Rec.
Wonderful.
Battlebridge. Yeah.
That's absolutely brilliant. Now, I've got to turn to the awards. Reigate and Banstead Sports Awards and Team of the Year. Now, we were talking about sort of men's and women's, and in this case, the ladies came out on top, beating a male team to the title of Team of the Year winners. I congratulate you on that. Had a good night, did we, there?
It was fabulous.
Yeah, it was fantastic. Yeah, it was great.
What was excellent was how many of our team came to the evening.
Yeah.
As well, you know, we had three tables full, I think, in the end.
Yeah.
And it was fabulous, but everybody wanted to be a part of that. And bearing in mind, no one knew the result. So everybody just wanted to be a part of that and celebrate where we'd come and just spend some time together, you know, just really enjoying it. It was brilliant. Really good.
I think success breeds success. So, you know, I think you can safely say that wherever you were, you know, the team has gone up a couple of more notches for winning this award, I would suggest.
Yeah, well, I think it's so. recognition, isn't it? Recognition for all the hard work that not just us, the players themselves, they've got to turn up every week. They've got to commit. They've got to want to be there. And we can only provide a platform, but they've got to get out there and do it.
Now, I said, said earlier that currently you play seven-a-side. Are there plans to actually expand a little into the 11-a-side game?
The reason I asked the question
is very simple, really, because the seven-a-side game is almost seen like a practice session, and I'm probably getting that wrong. And I, you know, if I'm wrong, please do slap me down. But it's the way it's actually visually seen. The step into the 11-a-side game would add to the credibility quite some more, wouldn't it?
I'll go on. You go for it, Sarah.
No, I'm just, all I'm saying is we play in the Surrey FA Flexi League. Yeah. Now, it's the only county that has this, and it's targeting recreational football for women of a certain age that want to do this, which is exactly where we are currently. What this does is it brings together loads of local teams. You can, you know, get to meet other people, and it gives the option. We only play once a month because that's the general consensus of what everybody wanted. Now, obviously, our thought process is to go to an 11-a-side where they do play every week. But equally, we don't want to lose what we have already. If we become too competitive, you're going to lose those that still enjoy recreational football, and vice versa. So we're kind of growing at the moment at a pace where, at some point, there's nothing more that we'd love than an 11-a-side team. An under-23s team even, a Merston Ladies first team. You know, the opportunities are there for the taking, and I think that's where we will be heading. Just as it stands today, the seven-a-side is nice, and it's bringing the team together, but I do think there's heaps of potential that we really will want to undertake here.
And can I just add to that point? I think the really fantastic work that the schemes like the Merston Wildcats, which obviously Sarah runs the Merston one, and if there's anyone listening and they've got young girls that want to get into football, go to that, please. But all I would say is that I think, Tony, the context here is brilliant. How far girls and women's football has come in such a short space of time. And actually, there is a sort of, in the same way a plant grows over a certain amount of time, I think the football is the same. And we need a journey for those Wildcats. You know, we need those young girls to see that there is a future beyond kicking the ball around in the park and actually taking it more seriously. We want to create the next Millie Bright. We want to create that. And I think that's really where we're at. Creating an environment for girls to actually see a world without us just going, oh yeah, boys play football and girls play netball. You know, that's literally what I remember as a child. And if we can change that perspective, I think we're going to be really, really winning. But also to Sarah's point, that's where we are right now. And we've got a fantastic club, a fantastic atmosphere. I think the award was recognition for all the work that the players and the framework around what we've built has created. Where we're going, who knows? But I think it's really important that we always, at our very core, have a safe, friendly, positive environment for people to come and learn and try and fulfil their potential as a player, but also as a person too.
Okay, yeah. We've been sat talking for nearly 20 minutes now. It's quite amazing where the time goes. You think, where does it go? But it's disappeared. So very quickly, anybody interested in joining the team? I mean, you say you've got a squad of about 40. I'm guessing the more the merrier for you guys. How can anybody that's interested get involved?
Well, you can find us. Obviously, we're on social media platforms on Facebook and Instagram. At Merston Ladies. Our training, currently we're doing winter training. We are at East Surrey College on a Tuesday evening from 6:30 till 8. As when the clocks change, though, we do move back onto Merston Rec. So if they just keep an eye on social media, we can... we'll
about three, 4 weeks' time, eh?
Yeah, 27th, I think it is about that.
Something like that, it is indeed. Yeah. Okay. Well, congratulations so much on getting Team of the Year. Long may your success continue. And I look forward to reading a little more about you guys as time goes on, because I think this is a huge step forward for what can only be described as equality for all. So for now, Sarah Collett, manager, and Mark Adams, coach of Merston Ladies Football Club, thank you for talking to me.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you very much. Thank you.